and Bill Stevens patiently answered the same technical questions of mine again and again. Purifoy, Drell, and Stevens truly are public servants. Al Childers and Greg Devlin similarly spent untold hours helping me to understand the events at Launch Complex 3747. Rodney Holder, Jim Sandaker, and Don Green talked to me at length as well. I am grateful for all the time these men devoted to my research. Colonel John T. Moser was extremely gracious in answering questions about perhaps the worst experience of his long Air Force career. And I'm grateful to General Chris Adams, a prolific author as well as a former chief of staff at the Strategic Air Command, for his many insights about the role of the Air Force in the Cold War. Although our political views differ, I have great respect for the way General Adams has served his country. David and Barbara Pryor, Phil and Annette Harrington, Sid King, Sam Hutto, and Skip Rutherford made my time in Arkansas a real pleasure. I'm grateful to Cindy English for telling me about her late father, Richard English, to David Rossborough, Jeffrey Zink, David Powell, and Jeffrey Plum, to Colonel Ben Scalorn, Colonel Jimmy Gray, Major Vincent Myers, Colonel Ron Bishop, and to Mary Ann Dennis, whose memories of her late brother, David Livingston, served as a poignant reminder of how meaningless statistics can be, and how the loss of a single life is one too many. Anne Godoff proved to be exactly what a great editor should be. Blunt, fiercely intelligent, and seemingly afraid of nothing. Those are rare qualities in a literary world that's increasingly timid and homogenized. Stephen McGrath, Helen Conford, and Rosie Glacier could not have been more supportive from the first to the last, and I am profoundly grateful. Tina Bennett made this book happen. She urged me to write it, discussed it with me for almost 10 years, and through thick and thin never wavered in her enthusiasm for it. Her advice was reliably on the mark. Every writer should have such a brilliant, forceful advocate. A number of other people at William Morris Endeavor must be thanked. Tracy Fisher, Rafaela De Angelis, Anna Marie Blumenhagen, Alicia Gordon, and Svetlana Katz is simply the best. Ellis Levine proved himself, as always, to be a fine critic as well as a formidable legal mind. I am very lucky to have him on my side, not the other one. I'm grateful to Sarah Hudson and Ryan Davies for their efforts to bring attention to my work. Benjamin Platt deserves some sort of prize for how he handled the production of this book. I hope he gets it. Megan Cavanaugh gave the book a clear, beautiful design. Deborah Weiss-Jalin's copy editing made me seem more eloquent. She's a wonderful practitioner of an unfortunately vanishing art. Lindsay Whalen, Michael McConnell, Nina Natov, Christina Caruccio, Melanie Belkin, and Denise Boyd all helped turn my manuscript into a book. And I'm grateful to Eamon Dolan for bringing me to the Penguin Press in the first place. Jennifer Jaird and Scott Hesselink at Elixir Design came up with a memorable original jacket. Gideon Kendall worked hard to capture every little detail in his very cool illustration of a Titan II missile complex. And I'm honored that the first words in this book were written by Leonard Cohen. I did not employ researchers while writing Command and Control, but I later received invaluable help from a small team of people who did their best to ensure the book's accuracy. B. Marr did a terrific job transcribing interview tapes, wading through all sorts of jargon, and immediately forgetting everything she heard. Jane Cavallina carefully scrutinized my quotations and assertions of fact. I am grateful for every single error that she found, from the trivial to the deeply embarrassing. Once again, Charles Wilson helped me get things right, re-interviewing many of the subjects in this book with sensitivity and skill. Ariel Tober helped to compile the bibliographic citations and made sure that my calculations actually had some basis in mathematics. Stephanie Simon also worked on the citations, and I even recruited my poor children, Micah and Connor Schlosser, to help with the task. They no doubt hope my next book will be a novel. And I'm grateful to David Schmaltz, Elizabeth Limbach, and Hillary McClellan for their fact-checking efforts. One of the central themes of Command and Control is the fallibility of all human endeavors. Sadly, that inescapable law applies to me as well. Any mistakes in this book are my fault. I hope that readers will kindly point them out to me. A number of dear friends read the manuscript in full or in part, gave me good suggestions, and helped me to get through it. Michael Clerman, Dominic Dromgoole, Robbie Kenner, Corby Cummer, Cullen Murphy, John Seabrook. The fact that I ignored some of those suggestions reflects poorly on me, not them. And Katrina Vandenheuvel has been a true friend throughout, a fellow student of the Cold War who helped me navigate the national security bureaucracy. My greatest thanks go to my family. Micah, Connor, Dylan, Lena, Andrew, Austin and Hillary, Lynn and Craig, James and Kyle, Matt and Amy, Bob and Billy, Lola and George, my parents. I can't imagine what they've put up with these past 6 years. While writing this book, I have not been the life of the party. Most of all, I feel love and gratitude and great compassion for Red, who's had to live beside this darkness. Without her, it would have been impossible. This is Scott Brick. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Command and Control. This program was executive produced by Patty Peruse and produced by Janet Stark. Command and Control is a production of Penguin Audio, a member of Penguin Group USA Incorporated and Books on Tape. Copyright 2013, all rights reserved. The book, Command and Control, is available wherever Penguin Press books are sold.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.